This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic, before the Dark Times, before the Empire. A young Jedi named Darth Vader, who was a pupil of mine until he turned to evil, helped the Empire hunt down and destroy the Jedi Knights. Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force.
Yes, Master.
Rise.
Newcomers, I'm Nicole Byer.
I'm Lauren Lapkus. We're watching Star Wars for the first time.
Yes.
We're deep in this stuff.
Yes.
Oh my God.
We are at the sixth movie, but the third movie of the timeline in this franchise, Revenge of the Sith.
Do you think that it's the Sith movie? Our guest
Go home,
is
Lauren.
Very upset already that he agreed to do this.
Yeah.
We have Andy Daly here. You've seen him on Veep, Modern Family. He has an amazing show called Andy Daly's Review, which you can now get all on DVD, I believe.
Yes. It's coming out on DVD on February 25th, but this is already later than that. So, yes, get it now.
Get your DVDs. He's also on a million cartoons, Big City Greens, Bob's Burgers, Big Mouth, lots of bigs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only very the big shows. Put me on the big shows.
Well, you've had a bit of a journey with Revenge of the Sith.
I have, yes. Well, I was a tremendous Star Wars fan of the originals in the 70s and 80s as a child, like beyond the beyonds, like absurdly so. I saw the first one 21 times in the theater.
21
times? Yes.
That's... I don't even know. There's 52 weeks in, so you spent 6 months.
I guess so.
Essentially seeing this movie.
Yeah. Well, in those days, a movie would, I feel like it was in the theaters for like a year, and every birthday party for everybody I knew was like, you know, we're coming over, we're piling 11 kids in the station wagon unsafely, and it's 1977, and then we're going to see Star Wars at the Paramus Multiplex, and then we'll come home and have pizza. And...
Paramus, New Jersey?
Yeah.
I know that phrase.
You know Jersey?
I'm from Middletown.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. You know them.
Maybe I know Paramus.
Gabris
where the 4 meets the
mentioned.
17. The Paramus Multiplex?
Yeah, probably.
Does that make sense? It feels really familiar.
From,
he'd know Paramus.
Staten Island.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Long Island?
Long Island.
It's from an island.
He's got it tattooed on his arm. So
right.
I guess
he doesn't forget which one.
But that's interesting that movies stayed. It makes total sense that they were staying in the theater longer. Mm-hmm. I mean, things just come and go here so fast. You're like, did that even get to be in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, because this was even pre-VCR. Like, there was, once the movie left the theater, it might get edited for television. But
other than that, you weren't going to see it again,
right?
Oh, that's so wild.
What if you, and this, I'm not acting like you're older than I am. I don't understand life.
I'm celebrating my age.
I can't wait for this question.
Well, my question is, so no one owned a movie before?
No, you didn't own movies.
But could you buy the film of a movie?
I recall one birthday party of mine, my dad did get out of the library a film version, a can of film of The Rescuers, and we had a projector, and we watched that. So I think, but it was very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really fun.
Yes.
And opulent.
Yeah.
Right?
We rented The Rescuers, children.
From the library. We've spared every expense.
Oh my God. Well, Revenge of the Sith came out in 2005. Mm-hmm. Did you see this 21 times?
No, I believe I saw it once. But just to put this in a little bit of context, so the first three movies I loved, and then you remember that they all came out again, the special editions, right?
We don't know.
No. You don't know about that?
No, we have no idea. Yeah. Every piece of information about these movies is new.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me tell you, just to put in context, Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
So the first movie took over my life, and so did the second one and the third one to a lesser degree. I had all the figures. I had all the trading cards. I cared deeply about Star Wars. I played it on the way to school when it was snowy. I was on the planet Hoth. You get the idea. Anyway.
Cute.
So then, and we were told at that time that those three movies were the middle three of a 9-part series that George Lucas had in mind. Like, that was kind of known in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
And also, it
was... I don't think we've had that fact given to us.
Yeah, that was like a thing that was out there. And another thing that was out there, but in the kind of, like, the status of a rumor, was that Darth Vader became Darth Vader because... as a pupil of Obi-Wan's, they had a lightsaber fight near a lava river that he ended up in and got, like, his limbs burned off. And so now he's encased in this Darth Vader outfit. It was just, like, a thing that somebody had heard and somebody said and somebody, like, was just out there.
Yeah.
But I don't know what official source there was. But then, so in the 90s, George Lucas, there's these rumblings that he is going to start cranking out some of the remaining six movies.
That must have been very exciting.
It was very exciting. And that to warm up to do it, he was releasing special edition versions of the original three with, like, kind of new special effects and deleted scenes and stuff like that. And so... those came out, and I went to see each one of those at the Ziegfeld in New York on 53rd, which is like an event movie theater, and on opening night with a packed crowd, and it was like some of the most fun I've ever had in a movie theater, partly because you're seeing, like, the characters, like, who's that guy in the first Star Wars movie? Biggs. Like, the character of Biggs.
Please remind us.
Yeah, who is
so
Biggs?
So Luke, when Star Wars originally came out in 1977, and by the way, it wasn't called A New Hope at that time, it was just called Star Wars. They only retitled it when they were, anyway. He references Biggs, his friend Biggs, who's in the academy and whatever, but you almost don't see him at all. Like, they cross paths on the way to their X-Wings for the final battle. But there were all these deleted scenes with Biggs. And so when the special edition came out, and that's what you're seeing now if you buy.
Oh,
did we see Biggs?
I don't know.
I don't remember Biggs.
I don't either.
I think you must have seen Biggs.
What did Biggs look like?
I'm on Google Biggs.
Yeah, Google Biggs.
Was Biggs big?
Not so big.
Hmm.
The place went bananas for every line of dialogue of Biggs's because it was like, this actor is getting his moment all these years later.
I don't know if we've seen Biggs. I feel like
I remember Biggs.
Maybe
Biggs is very attractive.
He's cute with the mustache and all the stuff.
I like it.
I don't know if that was the version, but okay. So Biggs must have been thrilled to get his moment too.
Oh my God! Can you imagine that guy?
Rip, rest in peace.
Yes, possible. But so then, Phantom Menace comes out, right? And I mean, you want to like it,
yes,
and it's tough to like,
yeah,
right? Real hard to like. And
did you like the kid?
I don't think I did.
A lot of people didn't like that kid. I liked him.
You did?
I would like to state that Biggs is still alive.
Oh, good.
Yes. Okay.
You know, like everybody, I was very distracted by Jar Jar Binks and
everybody was distracted. Some people thought that was the best character.
I enjoyed Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks. Binks.
Jar Jar Binks is a great physical comedian. The voice maybe isn't. When he came on screen, I said to John Milheiser, my roommate, I went, "Ooh, Jar Jar, my friend."
And I said, "Oh, there's Jar Jar." And then Mike goes, "He's not in this." And I go, "I just saw him." He goes, "Well, let's see." And then he came back and I went, "See? Jar Jar's in this one." I think I know more than you now.
But Jar Jar was like a place to aim your anger. But, at least the conversations I heard revolved around how awful Jar Jar was and how, like, to have those commentators at the pod race being like, "Oh, that had to hurt." Like,
we
people
did
were
not
mad.
Like, didn't like them.
People were mad about stuff like that.
I think they're right. You know, it was like, I think if you have all that buildup, you're so excited. And then they do some, like, goofy shit. Like, there are silly jokes in these movies that I do laugh. I even laughed at something out loud in this movie.
I laughed at so many things.
But, like, that's kind of, like, a cheap one to have, like, the modern day announcers and, like, things like that. I'm like, well, you're just kind of throwing shit at the wall for fun.
There was an anecdote that George Lucas, either in preparation for the second prequel or the third one, gathered together a whole bunch of comedy writers. And they read the script and he said, "Guys, what do I do?" Because people were so mad at the announcers in that first movie and the comedy overall generally in The Phantom Menace. Like, I want some advice. I want to hear all your points of view. And the consensus of the comedy writers was, don't make jokes. Was actually like, I know you've hired us to punch up this script. There should be no jokes.
Yeah. There shouldn't be any. Yeah. I mean, truly, like, and there is a moment in this that I know got, like, ripped apart. I don't like
Wait, which moment?
The part where Darth is like, "No."
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I laughed so hard I had to pause it and then I rewound it and I watched it again. It's really funny.
It's pretty amazing.
I kind of like watched it blankly the first time and then Mike was like, "What'd you think of that funny part?" And I go, "Oh, yeah, there's a funny part."
Would you
and
think then, it's supposed to be funny? It's not intentionally funny.
No, but it's like the part that everyone is like, was mad about or something. And I was like, I need to rewind this. And then I found it again. I was like, yeah, I guess that's kind of weird. I didn't have a big reaction
to
it.
So funny.
It's silly.
His arms are still kind of chained. Yeah. And they're not even stretched out all the way. And he just goes, "No."
I know. It's weird.
But
it's
the best
weird.
Part of it is that is literally the only syllable pronounced by James Earl Jones in the whole movie. So he came in to just come in and record, "No."
No, doesn't
no,
he say
he
one
talks
more thing?
More.
Yeah.
He does.
Maybe that's a remastered thing.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, he talks more after that?
This is why I think this is an interesting. I could be wrong.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I had heard that his Hayden Christensen's voice like changes and then he goes, "No," as Darth Vader voice. And he's talking as himself first, and the voice, like, comes out of it.
Oh.
I think they changed it so it's all Darth Vader, and, like, the voice is all James Earl Jones, and then no.
Oh.
I'd be curious to find out about that, because when I was reading, trying to find out why this was so funny, people were like, because he says this Hayden Christensen voice, and then he says no.
That would have been very jarring to hear.
And I think in the theater, that
would have
been really
weird. One, it's definitely Darth Vader being like, "Is Padma...
Is she dead?
Is she dead?
Is she alive?"
And then Palpatine's like, "You killed her." And then, "No."
No!
I want to find out about that. We'll see.
Well, so, and then I have almost no memories of the second sequel, except that I remember the knock on that was that, like, we're getting deep in the weeds on tax policy and intergalactic tax policy.
Yes.
Like, it couldn't be more boring. And then, as I was just reading you guys downstairs, A.O. Scott of the New York Times, a movie reviewer who I really, really love, like I actually think he is an artist of a film reviewer, wrote a review of Revenge of the Sith before I saw it. And I will read you the important part, which I've lost. Here it is. "This is by far the best film in the more recent trilogy and also the best of the four episodes Mr. Lucas has directed. That's right. And my inner 11-year-old shudders as I type this. It's better than Star Wars." So said A.O. Scott of the New York Times.
And you read a review of it before you saw it. Did that color your opinion?
It completely did, I think. I was so excited to see it, and I went and saw it, and I kind of walked out of there going, I see what A.O. Scott is talking about.
Yeah.
It's really, really great. And it was very thrilling to get to see the lava lightsaber fight that had been like schoolyard talk, like to actually see it occur, the making of Darth Vader. I was kind of like, yeah, this is a dark origin story of Darth Vader that hangs together and tees up the original trilogy well. I was very... So much so that I bought the novelization.
Wow.
And, you know, that's a big deal.
You're like, God, I saw it. Now I got to read it and imagine it.
Is the novelization longer in terms of pages than the movie or shorter?
Oh, longer.
Yeah, more in depth.
Yes,
like description.
We get into the heads of the character.
Oh, my God. Ooh. I actually liked this one. And I put that in, like, you know, quotes, but not. It's like, I liked it. I actually thought it was pretty interesting. I was bored for good long portions because it's well over 2 hours.
It's so long.
I thought the way that this one was like the best one, in my opinion, because it tells you so much about the first one, A New Hope. Mm-hmm. I learned so much about these characters and how they got to where they are. I felt like, I'm going to fuck up all the titles, Phantom Menace.
Yes.
And then what's the other one?
Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. Those two. We watched Attack of the Clones?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Where, it's very forgettable.
That's where all the stormtroopies come.
Right.
And they're all Jango Fett.
Mm-hmm. I felt like both of those were like all over the place and like really backstory I didn't want. This was the backstory I wanted. I want to know how did Darth exactly become what he looks like and how were the babies born and how is it twins and blah, blah, blah. And like,
I think
I like
this should have been the first one of the trilogies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or like half of it should have been the first one. Second half, he turns into Darth Vader. And then the third one, we get to see like Luke and Leia maybe grow up or something.
Well, because like with the first movie, A New Hope, we thought so much of the good shit happened in that one because we've heard about it our whole lives. And it's like, wait, he doesn't say I'm your father. Oh. He does, like, there's not Jabba the Hutt. There's not whatever the fuck. Like all that stuff like doesn't really happen. And that makes sense. If he had done it this way and like kind of pieced out some of this, it would be similar to how the first three were.
Yeah, it did feel like those first two prequels were just kind of killing time until we get to this stuff, which matters.
Yeah, I didn't need to start with Anakin as a child.
No, nobody needed to see
and
that.
And that kid actor did not need that either, apparently.
No.
So.
Did you clock the way that Ewan McGregor said specialty in the movie?
He hit me.
Sith Lords are our specialty.
It's probably his accent coming through.
It made me laugh so hard. I was like, nobody asked him to do that again?
Oh, my God. Just one more time.
Just one.
Just listen to how we say it.
Just one little reset.
I love his performance as a young Alec Guinness, though, right? It's impressive.
It is good.
Pretty good.
I do think, I think in this one I saw it more than in the other ones. I really like felt like, oh, yeah, he is who that, he becomes that old guy.
Yeah, I think Everyone except Hayden Christensen's performances were turned up.
Dude, everyone hated on Hayden in this situation. Yeah.
Hayden Christensen truly said every line like he was in a porn. He was just like, oh, I can't believe.
He talks like a New Yorker.
You know,
he's like, no, I love you. I don't care what they say.
Palpatine is good. And you're just
what? It is weird because I do think he's so cute. I'm like, just be good.
I think he's going for like gritty and dark and tough. Kind of vibes in this
movie.
Someone
should have been like, my friend, that's not you.
Right. It should have been like Johnny Depp or something.
Yeah, I think that
would
have been
fun. Like, who could be like, or like Skeet Ulrich.
Ooh,
Where's
Skeet Ulrich?
I don't know. I just started watching The Craft the other night.
Oh my God.
And Skeet's up in there.
And Scream, one of my favorites of all time.
One thing I think about this movie, by the way, as I was watching it this time through, is that the actors, almost always, from what I understand, are just in a green screen room. Like none of their surroundings were real in the physical world, which I think probably has a disorienting effect on your performance.
I think that must be really
weird.
You don't
really know what the movie is that you're in some basic way.
No, that's so weird.
I think if you do green screen, you should let watch actors watch playback.
Yeah.
Are you a little stilted? I mean, you are watching a green screen, but like you could change aspects of your performance if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think that's
don't
true.
Have an environment to act with. So it's like, let me just watch myself.
I think I was imagining like more real sets than there are in this one because I thought when there's a moment where Anakin is like about to go down like the big hall with all the columns like leading up to the building. So vague. I was like, that would be really powerful to be in that space. Like, it's so massive.
I know, but
like,
he might not have been.
He probably
at
wasn't.
All.
Yeah. He was probably like looking at a wall.
Every interaction that Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman had was so insane.
Yes.
When she is wearing a ball gown, brushing her curled hair.
It's so weird.
It was a strange choice.
All her outfits were kind of weird in this one. She had almost like a nighty dress on at one point.
Yes.
She, so she, she comes back to him, right, and tells him that she's pregnant, and he's like so happy. And then he starts
is he happy or is he just like okay?
Well, yeah, that's really more what it, he's like. You're okay. But he does go, I'm happier than I've ever been. Now that you're, he said something like that. He's like,
she's got an esh thing, right? something about his esh.
Yes,
his esh. She is like acting so hard in all of her scenes. Yes. Her eyebrows are like pure like slashes, and she's like, yes. I just want to know, like, is this okay? And like, what's going on? Like, and he's just like so dead.
Yeah, and then she has a line that I really loved: "Hold me like you held me at the lake in Naboo." I don't know why I liked that line so much, because I was just like, what the fuck is Naboo?
Yeah. I don't remember. Is that the Hawaii place?
Naboo? That
is Naboo. Oops.
I believe that's where Jar Jar Binks is from.
Oh.
I believe that's Jar Jar planet, Naboo.
His beautiful water.
Yeah. I watched it this time with my wife and kids, and my wife is always very good at noticing people's hair in movies and TV shows and pointing out where, like, no, the character would never have had the time to do that.
Oh my gosh.
Like, you know, all that stuff.
We have talked about that with Natalie Portman.
Yes, and so she noticed it the first time Natalie Portman walked out, like, what is this outfit and what is that hair? And then it just became hilarious because literally every time she's in the movie, she has a new over-the-top outfit and hair that is completely different. And as my wife pointed out, she's like, who's doing the hair?
We don't know. Who's doing the thing?
And I think the answer is C-3PO. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I can see only possible answer.
But see, we got mad because it's like, she should have like people working for her.
Yes.
She also had like a rolly suitcase that was like,
we were very
you had
upset
to pull
about
it.
That.
It's like, that should be a robot. Yes. Like, come on.
Yes, R2-D2 should be able to store your luggage.
Yeah, because
she's
alone,
right? She's in hiding with literally nobody with her. Mm-hmm. She's just cordoned off, like quarantined in this apartment.
Yes.
And her hair is getting elaborately done. For whose benefit, by the way?
You know he's not noticing.
No.
He's too busy just emoting. Also, R2-D2 could fly.
Yeah, there
like
was some funny stuff happening with R2 this episode.
And I was like, I mean, why don't you always use these jet blasters if you have them?
I feel like those are new. I think he just got them put in.
But this is one of the logistical problems of the prequels, that the technology is like better in prequel world than it is in the next four.
That has bothered me. And I think the CGI in general always was jarring to me, because it's like, shoot it as close to the originals and make it like feel like it's going in that order. Like that would be so cool. But the CGI was the best in this one of the three.
It looked really good.
It was the smoothest and least annoying to me. And I felt like everything felt as real as possible. Whereas in previous ones, I was like, this looks janky. Like, it looks like they just developed this technology and like threw everything in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think my perception of CGI changes over the years. Like, I was just talking to somebody about Titanic, and when that first came out, like, I completely bought the breath that was animated in, but I saw it again recently and was like, no, it's cartoon breath. They have cartoon breath.
I know, and that confuses me so much, though, because it's like, okay, just because we haven't seen the technology, we buy it more.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, like, it still looks not real. Like, but it takes seeing better technology to understand that it doesn't look real.
Isn't that strange?
It's really weird.
That's very weird.
Odd. So this time, like, the robot bad guy was bugging me on cartoon grounds.
That weird dog thing. It was like a dog skull, and he was coughing.
Yes.
I sort of liked him. Why
coughing?
Was he ill?
What
he's, like, sick.
Well,
he's
has
fake.
Some he has some organs built. Like, he has very little bit of a living organism.
Okay, so he can get sick.
Yes.
But nothing else but is beneficial from having that, basically. Like, you can likely to be coughing
also,
throughout the film.
He had four arms and four lightsabers, and Ewan McGregor was just like, let's do it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I also read something about this movie, that in that scene where they're having that big battle, there was a really elaborate fight scene planned out, but George Lucas was like, you know what? Let's just have Obi-Wan send that big giant thing down on top and crush all those people. And let's just not shoot the part where he fights them, because it's look at the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's very
funny.
We got to get out of here.
It's going to take too long. Just jump over.
He'll just
over
wave
the,
his
yeah.
hand and crush them with a thing.
And then the way these old men flipped around in this movie was so funny
to
me.
The flipping is fucking hilarious. And even Yoda flipping, I'm like,
I know.
Just chill.
Yoda flipping made me laugh so hard.
Yoda just like, the one moment I laughed was when he walked in the room and just like used the force to like knock over the two security people.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's funny. And then he had his life threatened moments later, and I was panicking.
Everyone used the Force at all times.
Okay, wait. Can we talk about the part where Mace Windu, he's fighting Palpatine?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so this is kind of an important part because this is when Palpatine basically convinces Anakin, tell me if I'm wrong, he's like, kill this Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way to save Padme.
Padme is the stuff I have to... Truly, Palpatine was like, I'm super evil and I'll help you. And Anakin was like, sure thing.
Yeah, so because he was basically halfway to the dark side. Mm-hmm. So he just took that moment and just went with it. Even though, okay, Palpatine's fucking transformation was
It was,
I was
disgusting.
Like barfing everywhere.
Oh, his teeth, the eyes,
it was so
the wrinkles.
And that's because like, Mace Windu is hitting him with the electroshock, right?
Yeah, like really hard. Yes. Like he's
and then he's like hitting him back with like the lightning or whatever.
I think Palpatine's using the electroshock to try to get Mace Windu. And then Mace Windu's using the lightsaber to fight it.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not. It's not enough. And Palpatine's like, I'm getting weak.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he got like dentures.
Yes.
It was fucking crazy.
And then these wrinkles and then these nasty fucking contact lenses.
I do think that was some of the best CGI or like practical effects.
That
looked really real.
It was upsetting.
Yeah.
And then you better believe Anakin cuts off both of Mace's hands.
That was upsetting.
And then kicks him out the window.
I know. I felt bad about that.
I was like, you threw away Samuel Jackson?
Seriously.
That was the wrong choice.
That was a good, exciting death, though, because you don't want him to die. And it felt like, damn, he's really going to be bad now.
Palpatine, by the way, makes no effort to hide the extent of his evil. That's like,
you
would think
he's
if
like
you're trying
slithering.
To...
He's like,
trust me, this is for your own good. Well, it's hard to believe.
Oh, he's so gross. And then he like holds court and nobody was like, your face.
He had no one cared.
For a while before he's like, they did this. And
everyone's like, a little explanation.
Oh my God.
Also, this whole time, what's his face? Anakin's been having nightmares about Padme dying during childbirth.
And in my brain, was it Palpatine who was putting those nightmares in his head to help him turn him to the dark side?
It's honestly next level viewing. I really don't know.
You're getting into subtext.
Yeah.
I was really getting into it. I was really enjoying myself last night during this 8-hour movie.
It was so long. I put it on like at 4 o'clock and I was done at midnight. I was like, why is this happening? I'm so tired.
Also, every scene that Padme is in, she is even more pregnant. I'm like, what is the timeline of this pregnancy?
I know, because famously, George Lucas likes to use real time for most things. Like a race will take 30 minutes if it's a 30-minute race.
Oh.
However, her pregnancy is going faster than basically anything. And maybe it's space pregnant where she's like...
Maybe. Or maybe he doesn't understand women's bodies. And he's like, you get pregnant, you have a baby. That's what happened
to me. It's twins. They're getting pretty fast.
Oh my God. And when those twins were born, they were like 2 years old. They were the biggest fucking baby.
Well, and then the like robot nurse was like holding a fake baby and then brought over like, and then it turned real when like Natalie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cause I think like they couldn't have it floating or something. I don't know what the reasoning was.
You know,
it was like a really
child
goofy.
Labor laws. You can't have a floating baby.
Yeah. It was like the baby from Ally McBeal. And then they brought over a real baby.
And we got the best dummy baby in the business.
I had the subtitles on and the like nurse was like blue blah or whatever. Like,
that is so funny.
I've always heard that like when there's an alien language in a movie like this, like some kind of linguist has been hired to create the language.
Oh.
But maybe they kind of cut corners on
that
one.
Yeah,
they
were just like
blop.
Whatever, blue blop. That's what
this
said.
One says blue blop.
And then to justify Padme dying, the little robot goes, she's lost her will to live. And I was like, that's it?
Yeah.
that's it?
That was fucked up.
You could have just
lost her will. Why don't you try to save her?
Yeah. Also, they could have just been like, she died during childbirth.
Well, there's
that's
that
a real
too.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
She wasn't like, I don't really care anymore.
Yeah, she's like, died.
Bye-bye.
She seems tired. Let's let her die.
Did they know it was going to be twins or was that a surprise in that moment? Because I think I might have missed something.
I don't think they knew it was going to be twins.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knew.
I think it was supposed to be like a surprise, right? But she named the girl
so
fast.
Quickly.
She goes, Luke. And then they're like, bloop, blop. And then she was like, Leia.
And then she was like, peace out.
Yeah.
When you're expecting a child, if you haven't determined, if you don't know the gender ahead of time, you're ready with a boy and a girl name.
Great point.
See? Mm-hmm.
That is a great point.
Thank you.
You just made it make sense.
See?
There's one thing they did right.
wait, we should take a break.
Okay.
Okay.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
And now we are back. when Anakin starts to like really turn and he's on the fire planet, and then what is Natalie Portman's name in this movie?
Padme.
When Padme comes, I'm like, girl, are you stupid? Like, you know he's up to no good.
I know,
what did
she's
you expect
like, I've heard these rumors. Yeah.
Is it true?
No. Is it true? You killed the childrenlings? I don't know. What do they call the little kids?
Younglings.
Younglings. Younglings.
Having captions on is really helpful for me because I like remember things better from reading them.
Oh.
Yeah, so that part was like really crazy. And then she thinks she's going to get something out of him. But then what happens? They just leave each other.
He hits her, right? He chokes her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, I forgot.
There was some domestic violence on the fire planet. Mm. So he, chokes her without touching her.
Oh, right.
Obi-Wan's like, what the fuck, dude? Mm. And he, lets her go, and he's like, you made me do this. And it's like, no, dude, you did
it. And to me, I was like, maybe that's part of why she died, because she had, her air cut off. And then it was like...
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why he believes Palpatine when he says you killed her.
Yes.
Because that did go down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. You're the reason it happened. Yeah.
And that lightsaber fight was very exciting.
It actually was.
I really enjoyed myself.
Yeah. I did too. And also, as far as CGI, I was like, wow, this is wild. None of this could possibly have existed. And yet I'm kind of buying it.
I totally agree. And it was 2005, so it's still pretty old CGI.
Yeah.
But did they remaster this on Disney Plus?
Oh, maybe.
Now, what kind of industry is doing business on a lava planet? And what
but there were
purpose?
Two people working in the lava river. Did you clock them?
No. Oh, there were human
they
people?
They were floating past two alien people being like,
I love that.
I mean, there are robots hard at work on lava planet.
Yeah.
What were they? I forget. They do explain what that industry is, what's going on
there.
Oh,
did they?
There was some kind of explanation.
Didn't catch that.
Yeah, but it seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Leave Lava Planet alone.
This was a really good fight, though. It was very, the stakes were high. I also was wondering about the stage combat, planning and how specific they are in terms of, every movement or if they kind of, go for it.
I think it's very specific.
Yeah.
Because I think they choreograph so you don't get hurt. And then you rehearse, so you don't hurt each other.
Yeah.
I think.
That would be hard to memorize. I go here, then I go here, then I go.
Well, here's a fun thing to do, which I did. We watched that whole fight sequence, which is extraordinary. Then go straight from that into the Vader versus Obi-Wan fight sequence in the very first Star Wars movie from 1977, which is two old men barely touching one another's swords.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
It is it is the lamest thing on earth.
Did your kids have a reaction to that?
That contrast in things is hilarious to them.
Yeah.
Yes, they
had they
that.
Seen the first, have they seen them all?
No. Yes, I guess they have. Well, one thing I did, I got my hands on a despecialized version of the first Star Wars movie.
Mm. Despecialized.
Despecialized. It's a fan edit that somebody put together that takes out all of the special edition bullcrap.
Wow. Okay.
And it's restored from an original print from 1977. That's my... I have a weird thing beeping.
Oh.
I have various weird things in my pockets that beep.
Sure.
It's just a little droid.
It's a little R2-D2.
And rented out the silent movie theater and just watched it on the big screen, as it appeared in 1977 with the original title.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was good fun.
Oh, my God. That's so cool you did that.
Yeah. But just invited all the kids I knew of. And so my kids saw it then. And then we have since watched Empire Strikes Back and The Jedi at home.
So
they've seen them,
yeah.
But they never saw the first two prequels and probably never will.
They shouldn't.
No.
Mm-hmm. This one, I think they can watch. This one, I thoroughly, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too. This might go second for me. I think I'm Return of the Jedi. Oh, no, I think I'm Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, Revenge of the Sith, the holiday episode.
This one's my fourth favorite.
Wait a minute. I'm confused. Your number one favorite Star Wars movie so far is Return of the Jedi?
Yeah.
There is an article. I don't know how to Google it. Somebody comes up with 50 reasons why Return of the Jedi is horrible. And they're all exactly right.
I love the Ewoks.
We did like those Ewoks.
It's honestly that simple for me. I was like, this is the funnest one.
Yeah.
What's your favorite one?
Yeah, that's why
I like it.
My opinion is that the very first Star Wars movie that came out is in a class all by itself, and it doesn't even belong on a list with any of the other ones. I think it is an art movie. I think it is so amazingly great.
Don't listen to our watch along.
Yeah. Well, we lose hope during A New Hope.
Well, of course, it's slow, and it's a very different kind of movie. Like, as soon as you get it to Empire Strikes Back, that's a blockbuster with action sequence after action sequence.
Yeah.
But the first one wasn't even trying to be anything like that. It was like,
right.
I really believe it's like a story that takes its time. We have this slow sequence with R2-D2 wandering through a canyon. You know what I mean?
That was a big problem for me.
I love it. And I love how dirty it is and how like ramshackle it is and what a just a messed up world it is. And also, if you think about like, he just created this entire world of, with backstories and everything that's just, you're just seeing that what is obviously the tip of a huge iceberg of ideas in that movie.
Well, I do, what you said about him saying that there were going to be nine makes me feel like I would have been more excited at that time about all of it than me now. Like the idea that like, oh, this thing we really, everyone really was talking about it. It's exciting. It's different. This, these characters are strange and like unique. And he has a big plan in mind. And it's going to take him 20 to 30 years to execute all of it.
Yeah, more. It's taken forever.
Yeah.
Yes. How much time is in between Empire Strikes Back and Phantom Menace? Do we know?
Oh, you mean Return of the Jedi and the Phantom Menace?
Oh, wait. Is Return of the Jedi the sixth one?
Yeah, so that would have been like 1983 to 19, I want to say, 97 or something like that. Something like that.
That's a long
time. Yeah, that's a long time.
And like, we don't have that patience now. Like, Fast and the Furious is like, we'll make eight movies within 10 years.
And like, I'm like, just, God bless. I love them.
It all moves so fast now. Like, this is like really requiring a lot of patience from everyone. But all the fans are so invested. But you know what I like is how much the fans also can hate everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, George Lucas has said that the reason he released a new Star Wars movie on Wednesdays was so that all the lunatics would go and see it on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and the normal people can go on the weekend.
Wow.
That is so funny.
And it's so rude to his loyal fan
that
base that's making him a multi-millionaire
really
in those 3 days.
Cool.
Yes. I think it's very cool. Also, he's like looking out for normal people.
Yes.
Who are like, oh, date night?
That's what he's thinking.
Like, next to a boy that's like, ah!
Yeah, you can bring your family on Saturday because all the lunatics went to a midnight screening on Wednesday
right.
night. You know,
what was that thing I tweeted that what's his face,
Harrison Ford?
Yeah, said,
Harrison. He was asked if he wanted to be like a ghost.
His opinions on like Ghost Jedi,
yeah,
or something.
Ghost Jedi.
And he was
like,
I don't know
care.
What the fuck that is, and I don't care. Got a red carpet,
which
I was
is
like,
so
you're
funny,
cool as hell,
so funny.
That is the coolest thing ever. I also just saw a clip of him. This is unrelated on Ellen. And he was, like, talking about his workout routine, and they showed a picture of him on a bike. And then Ellen's like, okay, but you say you work out, but you're riding this electric bike. He's like, it's not an electric bike. She's like, I have the same one. That's what that is. He's like, it's not. And they just go back and forth saying yes and no for, like, a minute. And he's like, it's not. I swear. I've actually seen people with electric bikes. They go, why do you have that?
That is such a funny argument to
I
have.
I know.
Just two rich people being like, I don't know what my toys do.
I know. I think he might be my new favorite person, though, if he's just talking shit about this all the time. It's kind of great. He was like, we watched the Holiday episode or
yes,
movie or whatever.
Yes, I was just saying, I just digitized a VHS version of that I found in my garage.
It's my favorite one.
It's good, but then someone asked him on a red carpet if he would do another thing like that, and he said, I'd kill myself.
It's just so funny.
I would kill myself.
You know,
and so bold to say that.
Yes,
just like,
yeah. He doesn't give a shit.
No.
Like, he's already done the movies. People love him.
Yeah.
He's Harrison Ford. He's now acting with a CGI dog in Call of the Wild.
I saw that on a bus.
Mm. Oh.
I am looking forward to knowing more about that. I loved that book growing up.
We'll watch it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was talking about, somebody was trying to cast like an independent movie, and there was some talk of, would Harrison Ford do it? And this agent said, Harrison Ford does not understand the concept of not being paid his full quote. So you will never see him in like an indie movie. You will never see him in some small thing looking for cred.
Oh my God.
Like if he gets a phone call saying, you know, nobody's getting paid for this, but it's a great script. He would go, excuse me?
That's hilarious.
So funny.
He doesn't care about the art.
To get to that point.
Yeah,
like,
oh God.
Yeah. I don't understand anything below this.
Why would I
what
do
are you
it
talking
if I don't
about?
Get millions
That's
of
like
dollars.
Linda Evangelista famously said she doesn't get out of bed for more than or less than $100,000.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, that's a nice luxury.
It really is.
Bed for like a hand clap.
Yeah.
Someone would be like, you look nice today. I'm like, thank you. Also, okay, when Anakin gets all burnt up, I was really upset.
Yeah.
And then Obi-Wan just like leaves him. And I was like, I think you should kill him to put him out of his misery.
Oh,
I know.
That's true.
But I get it. Like, you don't want, like, Jedis don't kill Jedis. And
I thought this was good because when we see Darth Vader's face in the previous film, it's so fucking gross and weird.
Yes.
That this, there had to be some story that connects Hayden Christensen's face to the chewed up bubblegum we saw. later, and this really did it. I felt like this was like a very satisfying explanation.
And then I was like, oh my God, did his face look like chewed up bubblegum because it's infected? They just put a helmet on, locked it up, and then he's just going to roam around?
I know, they just like sealed it. It's disgusting. Yeah.
Ugh, I was like, that must have smelled. You know how you take a Band-Aid off?
Yes. And your face, you like,
his whole body is a Band-Aid.
Your fingers are like wrinkled
and weird.
His
whole body is Band-Aid skin.
Yes.
How awful.
So gross.
Oh my God.
I love that moment where Obi-Wan, because he, whatever, the way they're situated, Obi-Wan is like, don't come at me. I will destroy you.
Yeah.
Like, you, the way we are situated, I can't help but kill you.
I have the higher ground.
Yes. And he's just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. If they could swear in these movies, that would be more fun for me, I think.
I agree. Oh, yeah.
What the fuck are you doing? You're not a Sith.
You're not a fucking Sith.
You're a Jedi.
Oh,
I also really liked what he said when, okay, Obi-Wan was talking to Anakin, and Anakin was like, if you're not on my side, you're against me. And he was like, that's not the way a Jedi doesn't think in absolutes. And I was like, oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not black or white. Like, Jedis have, like, nuance, and they care about people, and they're like, hey, if you're against me, let's talk about it and figure out what's going on.
Lauren,
I like that.
Yes.
I think I'm a Jedi.
I think you are a Jedi. Also, when Anakin was talking to Padme, and he was like, we could rule this universe, and she's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know how you're just now seeing that this man is a lunatic.
Yeah.
Pregnancy brain explains
it. Yeah, pregnancy
brain.
Just not tracking
everything.
She's in love. They had three weird conversations on a balcony.
Okay, wait. What happens with Yoda? There's a whole thing.
Oh, there's a fight in the Senate where Palpatine throws Senate saucer seats at him.
Yes.
And I screamed, what? You can't ruin that. That's for the Senate. And
you're an institutionalist.
I thought Yoda looked nice in this one.
Mm. Yes.
I prefer him as a puppet. But
yes.
I didn't like him in the previous two prequels, but this was my favorite one. He looked the most real.
Fine. Mm. But also, Yoda didn't speak like Yoda the whole movie. He would say some things very normal
and then
revert back to his weird isms.
At the end, he had like 10 sentences in Yoda speak, and I was like,
yes,
some of these could be flipped around.
Yeah, you don't want to hear too much of that because then you start asking the question, why does he talk like that? What is the problem?
Yeah, he can communicate with everyone else.
Yeah.
And then it kind of kills some of his like comebacks. Like he said, not if anything to say about it, I have.
Yes,
and then,
right.
Was already, giving the force to the guy. And I was like, that one you probably should.
Yeah, lines like that just make you say, do you have to do this?
Yeah.
What's going on?
That was kind of goofy.
Is this something to do with his species? I doubt it.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, we haven't seen any other ones.
We don't see any more Yodas.
I think there was a thing, like, when the first time they ever show the Senate, which I guess would have been in The Phantom Menace, you see, like, a whole bunch of Greedos in a box and a whole bunch, and I think there might have been a bunch of Yodas.
I gotta see a Lady Yoda.
There is one, because in my fan fiction, I mentioned it, so I had Googled if there was a female Yoda, a Yadette or something, or like a Yada.
I think we need another holiday special just centered around the Yodas.
I would love it if they were all puppets too, and it's like Labyrinth and just like fully.
What a treat. George, if you're listening, we know you are. We need a holiday special with the Yodas.
Please, that would be a hit. And Baby Yoda's in it, and he puts a star on the Christmas tree.
Of course he does.
He just climbs up the tree. Oh, I would enjoy that.
Oh, that'd be so cute. Okay, I also liked how they handled the babies and how they would be raised. I thought that was really sweet.
Hmm.
Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy
Smith, like,
yes.
I've been wanting to adopt. You know, it's like, that worked out.
We'll take this one to a gorgeous planet where she'll be a member of a royal family, and this one
and
to
we're
a
gonna
pile
take this
of
one,
sand.
Yeah, so you could be a moisture farmer.
Moisture farmer.
She's like, I'll feed him all the blue milk. I wish she had said that.
Why? What was the justification for sending him to Tatooine? What was the explanation?
I don't.
She just goes, go with his family. Whoever says it.
With
is
his
like,
family? Oh, right. Because his, oh yeah, Anakin was from
his
Tatooine.
Aunt
right.
and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
But like, why are they split? Like, why doesn't Leia go with him? Or why? Because Jimmy Smith was like, I want a girl. We wanted a girl. He did say that.
They got split up because that's how it starts in A New Hope.
Yeah. And I think theoretically,
I truly think it's just because that was what was said.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
doesn't make
but
sense.
But it's going
to
be harder for Darth Vader to find his children, which he's going to want to do. However, giving them to Darth Vader's own aunt and uncle or whatever, you know.
Right.
It's pretty easy peasy.
Back to his home planet. is not...
Right, that would be his... Wait, yeah, because it's...
That would
it's,
be his, like, brother or sister.
Right, it's Luke's aunt and uncle, mm-hmm. but it's maybe it's his Padme's family or something.
No.
No, right? Because she's...
Because Anakin is from Tatooine. So, yeah, I guess...
It's his...
It's not a good hiding place.
No.
And it's also not a great hiding place for Obi-Wan.
But then Obi-Wan's like, I will make sure he's taken care of. Mm-hmm. I liked that part, and that felt the most like... Name the actor who plays the...
Alec Guinness.
Thank you. That felt the most like him. Like, I felt like he was embodying that character.
Wait, when does Darth Vader learn that his kids are alive?
Right. I think he doesn't know until he senses Luke Skywalker in A New Hope.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm curious if we know Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru's last name. Are they Skywalkers?
Well, it says... Delivers Luke to his step-uncle and aunt, Owen and Beru Lars, on Tatooine. Okay. So why is it his step?
Step-uncle?
What does that mean? Your
step-uncle?
Your step-parent married someone?
Wait, yeah. What?
Your step-parent. Mm. So he has a step-mom?
Oh, yeah, because Anakin's mom, when she was murdered, was living with that dude that wasn't his dad.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh my
God, we're kind of amazing.
Yes. Right now.
I just took credit for what you did, but I feel it's crazy.
We all did it.
Is so crazy that you were able to just figure that out.
Very hard.
Well, I could see how Darth Vader might not think to check there.
No, yeah. That seems removed enough.
Kind of that random dude who was married to his mom.
Right.
Also, George Lucas makes a cameo during the opera scene. He is the blue-faced being named Baron Papanoida that you see outside of Palpatine's box, and it marks his first and only appearance in any of the Star Wars films.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
Also, his daughter and her boyfriend provide the sounds for General Grievous's coughing.
That's goofy.
That's
Dad,
so fucking weird.
I want to be an actor.
Okay. cough
stay,
over here.
Stay here and cough a few times.
Also, my favorite... character name in this movie is Commander Cody.
Because it sounds like he's on like Step by Step.
Each movie has a very simple name for somebody. And I love
there he
it.
Is. Yeah, Commander Cody.
So here's a bit of trivia. Hayden Christensen wanted to wear the Darth Vader suit in the films as it had always been a dream of his. This was in the DVD commentary. Though the filmmakers hesitated as Christensen was too short. Now I got to know how tall he is. They eventually let him wear the suit on screen, but Christensen had to look through the mouthpiece of the Darth Vader costume, not the eyes.
That's
sad now.
Very funny. Also, George Lucas purposely made Darth Vader's suit uncomfortable, heavy, and cumbersome. This way, as Hayden Christensen walks around in the armor, especially after first being put into it, his movements seem awkward. After all, Darth Vader isn't used to wearing it yet.
That's, for the record, he's 6 feet tall, so...
Well, Darth Vader,
yeah.
The costume must be David Prowse.
Yeah,
probably like 6'5".
Yeah,
if he's looking through a mouthpiece.
But by the way, that sounds like some BS there. That Hayden Christensen was like, "This costume is really uncomfortable," and George Lucas was like, yeah, on purpose.
Yeah, I did that for you.
I'm doing that to help your performance.
Let's see. This is the first Star Wars movie to receive a rating higher than PG.
It was a PG-13.
What makes it?
Well, the slaughter of the younglings is pretty rough. Right? Is there blood? There's blood in this movie.
I guess, like, there was, like, a head being chopped off that was pretty aggressive.
Uh-huh. Who's that?
Someone gets a lightsaber, chop off their head.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Can't think of who it is, but... let's see. When Anakin arrives on Mustafar and is shown putting on his hood, his mechanical arm is missing.
What?
It's like Dame Judi Dench's ring being on during Cats.
Which is very funny.
Gotta look out for it. George Lucas' three children play cameos in the film. Jet is a young Jedi called Zet Jukasa.
Oh, that was a real stretch.
Amanda plays a character called Tur Tenil, and Katie plays a blue-skinned alien called Chi Ikwe.
Oh, Tur Tenil?
Both are visible when Palpatine arrives at the Senate after being saved by the Jedi.
Oh, I see.
That's nice that he puts... Mm-hmm. He did that before, I think, too, in a previous one. I think his son was in something. Jet, I feel like we read a fact about him before.
This photo of Zet Jukasa that we've been provided here, it looks to me like the actor is not ready.
Oh, my God, I want to see.
He looks...
Oh, my God, that kid. It looks like a school photo.
Yeah.
That's his
son?
Love
it.
That's amazing.
Great.
I guess that's George Lucas's
son. I want to... full-size poster of that on my phone.
Also, who is Governor C.O. Bibble?
Governor C.O. Bibble.
You know what I decided I need? I want a full-size Ewok for my house. That is like a just like standing there.
I I'm going to look for one for you.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I would love it.
Yeah.
I wanted to buy this Ewok treehouse that was a toy that I saw, but it was like hundreds of dollars because it was like in pristine condition.
I almost bought my nephew a life-size R2-D2 that can roll around your house and beep boop at you and stuff like that. But I thought, oh, I should mention it to my brother first. And he was like, no, don't do that to
that
me.
That would be awesome for you as yes. the uncle.
As the uncle, yeah. the hero
be like,
uncle.
Look what I got yeah. to annoy you. That's so, well, how tall is R2-D2? Pretty tall, right? Like maybe 3 feet?
Pretty big.
Yeah,
4 feet?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah that would have been.
I mean, we haven't even gotten to like BB-8 and all this shit. He's someone you'd probably want around your house. He's like a little guy.
Yeah, it's adorable.
That's his name is just around. BB-8?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I thought it was BB-8 ball. But BB-8, I'm going to keep calling him BB-8 ball.
I'm really glad you thought it was BB-8 ball.
Is the new R2-D2
in
the...
Isn't an 8 ball a type of, like, an amount of cocaine?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you can definitely buy a novelty pool set that has the BB-8 as the 8 ball, I'm sure.
Oh,
I'm
yeah. Sure that, oh, yeah. They'd be fucking it up if they didn't have that.
They'd be fucking it up.
Every avenue must be explored.
We're into the merch. We're excited about merch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want a little Baby Yoda.
Yeah, we need that. Do you have toys and things?
Yeah, I have my original Star Wars figures from the 70s.
That's good.
I do, but they're not in the package. Or they're not worth anything.
So cool.
And they've lost their you know, they have the retractable lightsabers that come out of their arms.
Yeah. Oh.
Those things like that are missing. But I still have them. They're great fun.
Where do you keep them?
I keep them in a little wooden box that my children made for me.
Aww.
Yeah, that was sort of them accepting that these are not toys for them to play with.
That's
like,
cute.
I get
That's
it.
That's really cute.
They go in a box.
Where do they make wooden boxes?
You know what? It was a cigar box that they took some arts and crafts class that they decorate. They put Star Wars kind of decorations on it. Yes, it's very
adorable.
Nice.
That's
a lovely gift. They know I love Star Wars. And so my little girl got me a Yoda doll for me to sleep with. So that's another Star Wars item in my home.
That's and that takes
cute.
Up the other half of your bed and your wife's on the floor.
Yeah. It's huge. It's 10 times the size of any Yoda. But I almost bought, this is another almost R2-D2 purchase, at Williams-Sonoma, they have a R2-D2 popcorn popper.
Oh.
It's like this size, and it's like his you screw off the top of his head, and it becomes the bowl that the popcorn
goes
into.
That. This is great.
It's
honestly
pretty
think
great,
we probably
right?
both need that.
Yeah.
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 It kind of goes with the color scheme in my kitchen.
It would be fun. Yeah.
Maybe
I'll
get it.
Okay.
And you could store it. What, is it the size of R2-D2 or is it a little smaller?
But what's this? Like two
trash
feet?
Can. Okay.
Yeah, bathroom trash can size. Yes.
I hope that's your like standard of measurement.
I'm like bathroom trash can or kitchen trash can.
More bathroom.
Outdoor trash can height.
Yeah, and I think I only said this downstairs that I still have all of my trading cards, all of my Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back trading cards.
That's
from when
good.
I was a young
did you
man.
Trade them when you were a kid, or did you try to just like?
No, because maybe I did, but the cool thing is that on the back side of the full set of cards is like a puzzle that you put together if you have them all.
Mm.
So it wasn't about like I've got more of these. It's like you wanted at least one of each to complete the puzzle.
That's
and
cute.
I'm missing one or two.
Oh no,
that's a pretty good way to get you to keep buying things.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Star Wars is very good at keeping people latched onto it with, like, all of the merch and shit.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
Can I ask you your opinion on the movies we have ahead of us without spoiling anything? But
yes.
What's ahead of you?
The late-quels.
Okay. Yeah. The late-quels?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Middle.
So it's whatever. So it's
the C sequels.
This was 7, 8, 1. What did we watch? 4, 5. What did we watch?
We watched 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3.
Now we have 7, 8, 9.
So 7, The Force Awakens, made me very angry.
Oh,
I was angered by that movie, and I am very much in the minority. Like people love it.
Oh.
Big Star Wars fans that I know are like, "Oh man, it was great." I'm just like, I have so many beefs with it that I won't even share with you now.
Oh, boy.
But, and then the second one, well, I really liked Rogue One. I thought that was fucking great.
That's Star Wars story.
Are you not going to watch that one? Is that not part of it? We might.
Yeah, we might.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
It's, you're gonna. Is that considered legend or something, right?
No,
or
that's
is that part of canon? Okay, that's canon. We just learned about legend and canon.
Yeah,
I think it fits between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope timeline-wise.
Why are they doing this to us?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
No.
This is so
too confusing.
So wait, Rogue One is in between which?
Sith and New Hope.
So what? Revenge of the Sith and... Luke is a toddler?
There's no talk of Luke.
Oh,
then who's the Rogue One?
What is Rogue One? I forget what actually it refers to. It might be the name of a ship.
I thought maybe Luke was the Rogue One.
I thought Rogue One meant like a thing. It probably does.
I think it is the name of a ship.
I don't know what I'm talking about, though.
That one's really good. I did not see Solo. I was sufficiently scared away from seeing that one.
I remember seeing the billboards for that.
Same.
Yeah.
And then do you know the timeline when Solo takes place?
I do not, but
probably
I think it's early.
Before A New Hope.
Yeah.
Because
and
then
that's right.
Han's, his origin story, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the second of the, I'm forgetting the title. It's The Force Awakens, and then the one I'm talking about, and then The Last Jedi, right? So the second later sequel.
You're looking at the wrong.
Yeah,
I don't
know
the title.
Know.
But I actually recently watched that for the first time. I put it off for a while, and I liked it a lot. And then I've heard that the final one is bad, and I think I'm going to solo it. I think I'm just not going to see it.
Wow.
I think I might just not see it.
And then there's one coming out in December?
There is?
Wait, that was December. I have no idea what month
it is. I think that was, yes, that was the last one.
It's February now.
It's February now.
That came out. We haven't seen it yet, though.
No.
Yeah.
Was that considered?
Because that's the last one. That's the ninth
movie.
I don't think I've heard a good thing about it.
That's the one you're saying you're not going to see.
Yeah, I think I might just not see it.
Okay.
But you don't want to see how the saga ends? Who's Kylo Ren?
Oh, you're going to find out.
So wait.
No, I don't care.
Yeah, that's number 9. Why did I think it was number 10? There's no 10.
There is no 10. But so, I think there's only two Star Wars stories, which is Rogue One and Solo, I think.
And then we have Mandalorian.
And then, Mandalorian.
Which actually, Paul F. Tompkins was just texting me today saying we should watch that and that it's actually good. And it's like Baby Yoda will hook us in and that really it's like 8 45-minute episodes, which still sounds long, but
yeah, that is long.
Basically over 6 hours.
I've heard that's good, but I'm not very tempted.
I don't
need to see. So, sometimes I am struck by the cynicism of the cash grab that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I don't think about it and other times I do. And so that's part of what bothered me about The Force Awakens. I was just like, I am just hearing the sound of cash registers this entire
time. That's interesting.
Sometimes it bothers me, but other times it doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know why exactly. But
I get that, though.
Yeah, but The Mandalorian, I'm just like, wow, it has become yet another profit center.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know.
Wait, The Mandalorian's about Boba Fett? No.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about Baby Yoda.
I mean, honestly, that's the only thing I actually know.
That's
that
what we
Baby
want.
Yoda's very cute and presses a button.
He walks around with a cup of tea.
Yes.
He does.
That's
baby
insane.
Cup of tea.
I
love the memes with Baby Yoda.
I don't like that he is 50, though.
That's weird to me.
I find that a little bit concerning.
Because what did he look like as actual Baby Yoda?
And
like
does
a lima
he have
bean?
Like a diaper?
Does he have a diaper?
He has like a brown cloth diaper.
I remember speculating when that character was first introduced in like 1981 or whatever, that because he says how old he is in the like 400 something years old, that as a young person, he looked like any of us. He looked normal, but it's just like centuries have turned him into that.
Right.
I guess that's incorrect.
That's incorrect.
No, he's on a totally different timetable in terms of growth.
Wow.
Wait, does Baby Yoda have hair?
I don't think so.
Because like Yoda kind of has like Bernie Sanders hair vibes for me.
Yeah, he might have a sprout.
Last night, I was like, did Bernie love Star Wars? Just like a mess of white hair that no one's ever going to comb.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying
to see. C-3PO would go near that.
We didn't see very much of C-3PO in this movie.
Well, he doesn't have a lot to do, but he's kind of hanging around in the background a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Okay, Baby Yoda has just like skin fur. You know what I mean? Like a little tuft.
Like a little tuft.
Just white hair kind of over the entire ears and head. Mm. He's really cute, and I need to own him, and that's all I know. Oh, my.
I'm so sad that you won't see the late quotes.
The last, it's just the one I haven't seen Solo and I haven't seen the last one. And because I like the way that the second of the later sequels ended, and I felt like, I don't know, I felt satisfied
that
with that.
That was a natural end?
Yes, I'm not as invested in what remains to be resolved.
And you're not a completist with this, right? Like, some people are like, I have to see every single thing related to this.
I can't do that, but I guess I have, except for those two.
But that's kind of a big thing, because I feel like this one just came out, and if you really wanted to see it, you would have been, like, one of the first people to go, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
no.
No. Yeah, and it took me a long time to see them. I just saw whatever the second one is called.
So in what's the name of the movie we're about to watch is
Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm. Luke, Leia, they're still alive. Wait, just Darth Vader's dead. What is the story? I guess I shouldn't ask.
No, well, it picks up many years after Revenge of the Jedi, like roughly as many years as it has been.
After Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, Return of the Jedi.
Interesting. I got to like think about my timeline going into it.
Yeah,
because if I just turn that on, I'll be like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Darth Vader is dead, and so is Obi-Wan. But
like,
that.
Who's the bad guy? I guess I'll find
you're
out.
You're going to find out.
I'm excited because I don't even know who's in it.
I have no idea. Yeah. I think this is the first one where I have literally no references.
Okay.
Like, I knew about Jar Jar in the, prequels. I knew about, I don't know.
I guess I knew about Hayden Christensen
being a cardboard box of an actor. Honestly, come for me, Hayden. We could talk.
Where is he now and what he's doing? What is he doing? I want to know more.
Oh, my God.
He was in that movie Jumpers.
What's that?
I don't know. It was a movie years ago. And that's the only thing
he was in Life as a House, I think, with Kevin Klein.
Oh, was he?
I, loved that movie. I hope I'm not mixing it up with something, but I really loved it. And that was, probably, 2000. Mm. So it was before this. And then
I guess he's
kind of
retired.
Maybe.
I'm gonna go to his IMDb.
Weirdly, he is bad in the same way that these movies overall are bad. So in a way, he's doing the job.
Right.
He fits into the world.
And if you hated Anakin the child, you'll hate him as an adult.
Yeah.
And the character is Darth Vader, who you should hate.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's all kind of supposed to be like that.
But I wanted to like Darth Vader than to hate Darth Vader. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because at first, when he's a little boy, he seems sweet and
he's
hopeful.
Sweet, cute, hopeful.
And so it's kind of sad that he's going to become this.
But then he grows up and doesn't really care about anything. He never says a thing with emotion. So then he's like, no, I'm bad. And you're like, okay.
That's
and he
true. Had that one it's grade. Not really a transformation from a potentially good guy to a bad guy. It's just kind of, he's always.
And I think that's my real problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was in Little Italy, The Last Man, First Kill, 90 Minutes in Heaven, Outcast, Not the Band, American Heist. Jumper. Mm. That was in 2008.
Is that the most recent?
No, his very most recent one is The Last Man is the last thing he was in.
What's that?
I don't know. Ooh, Harvey Keitel's in it. I'm in. I'm going to screenshot this and watch it tonight.
Oh, my God.
I love Harvey Keitel. When I was little, he did it for me. Oh,
can I tell you something about Harvey Keitel?
Yes.
I was in Scotland in the summer of 2017. These commercials I don't believe ever aired in the United States. It's Harvey Keitel as his character from Pulp Fiction selling car insurance.
Wow.
That's great. Get that money. Get that money, Harvey.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I'm trying to think if it's him or who this is, and I have to look up what Harvey Keitel looks like, I think. There's somebody in Japan who's on every coffee machine, coffee vending machine, and it's someone like that if it's not Harvey Keitel. It's someone an old American guy, just the face of this thing, and you would never know. Oh, it's not Harvey Keitel. I'm going to have to figure that out later. But.
Okay.
It's just so weird that you can do these ads in other countries and just be like, actually, Natalie Portman is on a big building that my friend was posting about from Thailand. She's on this huge ad.
Will Smith is in giant ads in Italy. Yeah, it was in the airport. I was like, Will Smith? And then so she was like, yeah, that's how a lot of people make a ton of money by just doing ads overseas that nobody in America ever sees.
Right. Hmm.
Isn't that wild?
How do we get into that game?
I don't know. International Hollywood, if you're listening.
We're available. This is who
By
it
the way,
is.
Also available to sell out here.
The guy from Men in Black, whose name I can't think of.
Oh, Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes. He's on every Men thing, in Black. Every street corner.
Good for him.
It is good for him.
Yeah.
Well, here's a review that we got for the podcast.
Oh, yes.
This podcast is so amazingly funny. I have never heard someone absolutely destroy my childhood in a way that makes me laugh so hard. I love them both, and this is a must for any Star Wars fan who can laugh at the silliness of Star Wars and doesn't take the fandom seriously.
That's nice.
That's nice.
We also got another nice one here. Absolutely addicting. It's so nice to hear people recreate the conversations that I've been having with my Star Wars addicted husband for the past 6 years. It's funny because it's all true. That is nice. Thank you. And please go review us on Apple Podcasts.
Please.
Write a little nice thing and maybe we'll read it here.
Yes.
That was the second one's from Jackie Kelly. I don't have the name on the first one. And oh no, Day of the Robot.
Yes,
so thank
Day
you
of
both.
The Robot.
Oh yeah.
Day and if you
robot.
Have something mean to say, keep it.
Write it in your diary.
Yeah.
Tell your therapist.
Yeah, write on a piece of paper, fold it up and put a stamp on it and ship it to somewhere else.
Yeah. Put it in a bottle and throw it in the ocean.
So
plastic
okay.
bottle.
Overall, did you plastic bottle? Did you liked this movie, right?
I think overall I liked it. Like when I'm talking about my feelings about Star Wars mm-hmm. and my level of ability to enjoy it, this was near the top. I actually was like, I liked the origin stories for these characters that I care about from mm-hmm. the previous ones. It seemed the most meaningful in terms of like information that needs to get out there.
Mm.
Like, how did Darth become Darth?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know about the pregnancy and the birth. I do care about that. So, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was too long, but mm-hmm. I had a great time. I tee-hee-heed. I screamed. It was mm-hmm. good. During the fights, I was like, no, oh. I was, mm-hmm. like, really into it. Gotta say, I was really sad when Yoda took himself into exile. That really bummed me out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't think you have to. You just, like, failed a little bit. Like, just try again. What is that song? Dust yourself off and try again? Yeah. Aaliyah, you know?
They just start playing that. Dust yourself off and try again.
So you are Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, this one are your top three.
I actually think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what about you?
Mine is the holiday special, Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, no. Is that the sixth one?
It's the second. It's the fifth. It's the second and fifth.
Wait, which one has the Ewoks? That's five?
Jedi.
Yeah, that's six.
So that's six. Third. So yeah, that's five. Three. So it goes holiday, five, six.
Mm.
Three, one, two, and then A New Hope is not on my list. I really hated
wow,
it.
That
I
is
will
wild.
Say, I think wow. the holiday one would be at the top of my list in terms of watchability. Like, I would actually mm-hmm. throw that on again as
the
like a
holiday
I'm
one.
Really
like a
excited
funny
to watch
thing.
It again.
Like, I'd maybe wow. tell friends, like, some funny.
<He's> so upset.
Because I recently wow. tried to watch it.
It's bad.
It's got some
crazy. Good, weird stuff. And the Wookiees
yes.
like are mainly the only people talking for the whole mm-hmm. thing. And there's
yeah.
no subtitles. What's your top three?
Well, it's hard to say because, as I say, the original Star Wars is all by itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's someplace else. It's
yeah.
not on this list. And then I guess.
Same for
me.
Nicole. It just means
right,
something else.
Exactly. Right. In a different way. I guess then it's Empire Strikes Back. Yeah, then maybe Revenge of the Sith, then Return of the Jedi, then whatever this second later sequel is, whose title I still cannot recall.
Uh-huh.
And then that's where my list ends.
Mm.
There's no other movies on the list.
Okay.
That's great.
All right.
I like that. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yes,
thank
really.
You
thank
so
you so much.
Much.
Do you have anything
oh.
you want to plug?
Yes.
Oh, well, yes, the review DVD is out. I also have an album that's coming out soon called Four More Sweaters.
Great.
Or
that's great.
Monsters Take Your Questions. It's a long title. What else? That's it. All I can think of.
Yeah.
Do you have Twitter and Instagram that you care to?
TV's Andy Daly.
There
I
you
am
go.
On Twitter. And I believe I'm that on Instagram as well.
Keep it simple for mm-hmm. everyone.
Lauren, what would you like to promote?
You know, I would like to promote... I'm on Good Girls. I'm recurring on Good Girls on NBC.
Yeah.
So you should watch that and see that. And then, you know, all my podcast shit that I tell you every week. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know when this comes out. My Instagram's Nicole Byer. My Twitter's Nicole Byer. Mm-hmm. I have a book coming out called #VeryFatVeryBrave, The Brave Girls. No, The Fat Girl's Guide to Being Brave and Not a Melancholy Down the Dumps Weeping Fat Girl in a Bikini. It is the longest title.
Wow.
I don't know
yeah,
if I ever
your
get
title
it right.
Was long.
Yeah.
really, beat you on that. I should give me all the words and I'll put them on a book. I have a bunch of podcasts that you can listen to. My special is streaming on Netflix. It's the third episode of Comedians of the World. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Watch my Netflix special. It's called The Characters. That's it's still so up there. Good. Go see that stuff.
Which episode is it? Do you know?
It's the first one.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's very so that's funny. Easy.
Thank you. And so is yours.
Thank
I
you.
I loved your stand-up special.
The Bachelorette character that you do with like...
like the tan an face, orange face,
blonde hair, big eyes is so funny.
Thank you.
Ugh, what a dang treat.
Well, wow. Everyone go buy Andy's DVD and
yes,
got
please.
His album. And
oh, review yeah. is so funny.
Oh, thank you. Tons of extras, commentary tracks.
And listen to Andy on many different podcasts. You're so funny on Comedy Bang Bang and everything. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
just
thank
search
you.
His name.
I have a new podcast coming out, but I'm not sure if it will be announced by the time
oh.
this is happening.
But,
oh, maybe. What, can I plug one other stupid
yes,
thing?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Every Wednesday at one, no, the first Wednesday of every month at 1 p.m. at the UCB Sunset Inner Sanctum, I'm doing an improv show called Lunch Prov, where the audience is encouraged to bring their lunch and watch a 1 o'clock weekday improv show.
That's adorable.
I love yeah. it.
And it's been so much fun. And the audience does come. They bring lunch and they watch a show.
I have been hearing that that's been going great.
It's been, yes. every show has been fun.
Yes.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. come check it out. And yeah, because nobody has jobs in LA was my thought.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's great. People are just kicking around at 1 o'clock and they should go do
just
something.
Like, oh, no. Maybe I leave my house today?
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
that's it.
Bye-bye.
I love you very much.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.